I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. I'd like to read one verse, verse 14. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Our Father, this evening we ask your blessing upon the preaching of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the hearing. May we worship this evening. For Christ's sake, amen. We speak often of the glory of God. The glory of God. And when we consider that precious subject, our hearts are immediately lifted in a spirit of reverence and respect concerning that blessed thought, the glory of God. Here we are this evening, creatures of the dust. How can we behold the glory of God? Now, John said that they did. That's what he said. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now, while we readily admit that this subject is too high for us to fully comprehend, we know that truly we're creatures that see through a glass darkly, but we see. Our eyes are held to the ability to be able to fully comprehend the glory of God. But I know this, God's word bears out that one day we're going to behold his glory. Now listen to this, Revelation 21:23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, if you ever been in a cave? Y'all been there before. You know how you get way back in the cave right there, and they tell everybody, stand still. Now, we're going to turn the lights off. And then I want you to put your hand up and see if, you know, you can't see anything. Light is that by which we behold. Without light, you just can't see. We see tonight because these lights are on. We see during the day because the sun is shining. We see because of light. And the scripture says, in that day, that city, that heavenly Jerusalem, the church, not going to have need of a sun or a moon because the glory of God did lighten it. Now, here we are. We believe that in that day, God's glory is going to shine such that we're going to see. We're going to see him. And in seeing him, we'll see his body. I'm talking about his body. In that day, we're going to see the glorified saints. all that have gone before us, that died in the Lord, that died in the faith. There's coming a time where we're going to see them. And we're going to know them. Disciples, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. The scriptures declare that Moses and Elijah, who had passed hundreds of years before Peter, James, and John were ever born. And they knew them. They knew who they were. They knew them. Margaret, you're going to see Bob. I believe that. You see Bob. Bob, your dad. There was a group that followed the Lord Jesus Christ when the centurion in Matthew 8 asked the Lord to heal his servant. And you remember he said, the Lord said, I'll go to your house. And the centurion said, I'm not worthy. You come to my house, speak the word. My servant will be healed. The Lord said, I've not seen greater faith. But then he said to a group that was following him, he said, many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying we're going to know them. We're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're part of the body. I've used this before. I know that's my hand. I know it is. I've seen it before. I know that's my hand. You're going to know those that have departed in the faith before us. We'll know them. So in heaven, God's people are going to see the Lord's glory. And when I say they're going to see the Lord's glory, that takes in His glory as the Redeemer and the Redeemer of those sheep that are there. There's His glory. They're going to see His glory. But Moses besought the Lord with this request. He said, show me thy glory. Show me. I desire to see your glory. And the Lord of glory, the one of whom it was said, spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, graciously answered that request. And here's what he said. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. All of the goodness of Almighty God is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what God, Jehovah, said to him. I'm going to cause my goodness. You're going to see. And he saw him by faith. But you're going to see the Christ. You're going to see the glory. I'm going to call all my goodness, my glory. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you whenever God's people behold the glory of God. I tell you who they're seeing. They're seeing by faith the Lord Jesus. I'm going to cause my goodness to pass before. And he said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. He said, in showing you my glory, in causing you to see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, Moses saw him. He didn't see him in body, but by faith he saw him like we do. I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And this is what the Spirit of God does for us, his people. in revealing unto us Christ, he says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. What was the name that the Lord told Moses to tell the children of Israel? You go into Egypt and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? He said, you tell them that I am, has sent you. I am that I am. You tell them that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the sovereign God who shows mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will, has sent you. That's what you tell them. I'll tell you, when the Spirit of God comes in power to God's people, here's what they see by faith. New eyes see, new heart to believe. They see the goodness of God with new eyes. They see Christ. They see their Savior. They see life. They see Him. That's what they see. And they hear in their heart the proclamation of the sovereign God who has mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. That's who they see. They see Him and hear His voice for who He is. So the Lord promised to show mercy to Moses in showing him his glory. And truly, Moses saw by faith the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's glory, through whom God's people would be redeemed and saved. The scripture says Moses saw him and wrote of him. That's what the Lord said to a bunch of Jews. He said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. And whenever Moses wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, when he began to write, he wrote of Adam and Eve being clothed with the coats of skins in the garden. Do we not see the Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life, shedding his blood? That animal had to die that they would be clothed. Do we not see the righteousness of Christ covering them? Moses wrote of me. When he wrote of the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, did he not write of Christ? Whenever he wrote of the ark of Noah, Noah built an ark, and Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives, those animals that got in the ark, did he not write of Christ? Moses wrote of me. How about that brazen serpent? How about that smitten rock? How about the sacrifices in the desert, in the tabernacles? Moses wrote of me. Moses, show me your glory. He said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. Moses saw Christ. And he said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord, sovereign God, and I'm going to teach you that. Show me your glory. Yes, the Lord revealed His glory to Moses. And Moses saw Him. Moses wrote of Him. But there was a blessed day that God was pleased to make an open manifestation of His glory. And the scripture says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. John wrote concerning God's glory, Christ Jesus the Lord. John wrote, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt and tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, the only one who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, we beheld him who is one with the Father in essence, one in will, one in purpose, one in power. We beheld his glory. But while the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, walking before God and before men, the one that John said, we beheld his glory. Were there not many others that saw him too, but didn't see his glory? What was it that John and the other disciples, we beheld his glory. What was it that they beheld concerning his glory that many others did not see? What is it, let me ask you this, that we that believe behold of his glory? Moses saw him, believed him by faith, and that's the only way we can see him right now. What is it that we see concerning the glory of God? Here's what it is. First, I got 2 points. First, they beheld him in his glory as the mighty God. And they knew it. They knew it. Many saw him. Many saw his miracles. But John said, we beheld his glory as God. We knew who he was by the revelation of the Spirit of God. Let's turn over to John 6. John 6, verse 66 to 69. There were a lot of people that were following him. And the Lord said in verse 65, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You know, you stand up and preach that today in most places. And let me just make sure that I make it perfectly clear on what he said. No man has the ability. No man can. No man has the ability to come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Well, what are you saying? I'm saying that man is totally depraved. I'm saying that man is spiritually dead. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that man cannot come to Christ except God the Father grant him that coming. You cannot come to him. Somebody says, well, what if I want to? You won't want to. You won't want to. God Almighty is sovereign in election, sovereign in redemption, sovereign in calling. He's sovereign. He's God. He does as he will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. No man has a right to question him. He's God. And from that time, verse 66, many of the disciples went back, walked no more with him. And said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. John said, we beheld his glory. We saw him and knew him to be God. And we believed on him as he revealed himself to be God. God Almighty. One who has mercy and compassion on whomsoever he will. That's who we know he was. And we saw him. We saw him in the display of his deity. We saw him heal the sick and raise the dead. We saw him walk on water. We saw him speak to the waves and to the wind, and they settled down immediately. And we asked ourselves, what manner of man is this? This is God. They saw him in his glory as he was transfigured. Turn to Luke 9:28. They saw him when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. That glorious display of his majesty before his humiliation in the Garden of Gethsemane. I thought, what a marvelous act of God's grace. Soon they would behold him in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, crying unto the Father, "Father, if it be possible, but this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Praying in agony, his soul was in agony. They saw him. They saw him. But before he went to the garden, he took him up on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. And the scripture says in Luke 9:28, it says, "It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were very heavy with sleep, and when they awake, they saw his glory." And the two men that stood with him, they saw the display, the manifestation, the veil that was removed. And they saw him in deity. Just John said, "We saw him. We saw him." Before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, in the days of his humiliation, God showed them, "This is who I am." Then emboldened them, encouraged them. John said, "We saw his glory." How do we see the glory of God? We see by faith him with eyes made new in regeneration. We know that he's God, sovereign God. God in heaven and earth. He's God. He's not trying to be God. Not trying to do anything. Not trying to save somebody. He saves whosoever he will. He calls them and they come. He told Matthew, "Follow me." Matthew followed him. When he spoke, I tell you, that power went forth and effectually drew. We beheld his glory. But the second point was this. The glory of Christ that John declared he saw was when the Lord Jesus Christ, in his submission to the will of the Father to redeem the sheep, gave himself into the hands of wicked men that he might bear the guilt of his people upon the cross. John said, "We saw him who is the Lamb." We saw the Lamb. We saw God Almighty humble himself. Made himself of no reputation. We saw the God-man mediator. We saw him give himself and lay down his life. John said, "We, his disciples, saw with our eyes the Christ and knew that this was God who had humbled himself as no man born of Adam could humble himself and laid down his life." Peter in Acts 2, speaking, one of the ones that were of the "we" that saw him, Acts chapter 2, John preaching on the day of Pentecost, John 2, 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. John said, we saw his glory as the substitute of his people, the redeemer of his people. We saw the federal head who bore the guilt of his own, everlastingly given to him from before the foundation of the world, and took their place. He was there, made sin upon that cross, and it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to put away the guilt of his people. And there he is, doing exactly what he had prayed for the Father to do to him. Look at John 17, 1. John, in that high priestly prayer, here's the Lord Jesus Christ praying these words. John 17, 1, spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Father, as I have come into this world, according to the everlasting covenant of grace, to redeem the people of your choice, that you gave me, entrusted to me as the surety of the sheep. And I haven't, according to that covenant of grace, eternally stood as the surety for them. I will answer for them. I will save them. I will redeem them. I will die, taking their place, becoming them. I will lay down my life, being made flesh, humbling myself according to your will. Father, glorify me. Display the glory of your purpose and my purpose. Glorify me and support me and sustain me and uphold me, that I may glorify your virtues of mercy and compassion to your people. Lord, I've come to do the work that you sent me to do, to finish the work. And soon cried, it's finished. Father, glorify me. Here he was at Calvary, and the promise of the Father in John 12, 28 being fulfilled. The scripture says, John 12, 28, Lord praying, said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What did he mean? He said, I glorified it, glorified my name in sending you and displaying you and showing you to be God. God with me. One, I did it, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to display you as the Lamb who humbled himself. I will do it. The Father caused his goodness and glory, Christ Jesus the Lord, to pass before the face of not only Moses and John, but us, his people, and the others that he's called out of darkness, and beholding his deity and his humiliation. There's his glory. Show me your glory. I'm God. I'm God Almighty. The I am that I am. The Christ, the Messiah. Abraham told Isaac, when Isaac asked him, you know, remember, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb. John saw God as man, the God-man, lay down his life on the tree, shedding his blood for the redemption and salvation of his people, satisfying the law and justice. And then John wrote, "We beheld his glory, God's glory, to pass by the transgression of his people in Christ." Christ. Proverbs 19:11 says that the discretion or the prudence or the wisdom in handling a matter, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. That's true of men, surely, what the scripture says. But oh, the discretion of God to be just and justify a sinner. How wonderfully is the glory of God justly and mercifully displayed in the redemption of God's people. God's people, in the time of our Lord's humiliation, they physically and spiritually, they saw his glory. 1 John, same one that wrote the Gospel of John, wrote this: "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Brethren, we too, we see right now, by faith, the glory of God, the Lord Jesus. What do we see? We know he's God. He's God. That's what Peter said. We're convinced. You're the Christ. You're God. You're the Son of the living God. And we see him as our Savior and Redeemer. John was with him on the mountain, Transfiguration. He saw that veil removed, and he was with him in the garden when the Lord did sweat drops of blood. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit said this: "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to see him. Lord, this evening, show us your glory. And according to his promise, he has by faith, and very soon, one day, shall by sight. May the Lord bless these words to our heart. For Christ's sake, amen.